pray with me. God, it's our privilege that we can join in creation and praise you. Sometimes we miss the point that all creation around us is already worshiping you in constant praise, giving honor to you, to the one who made everything. And we believe that we exist in you, that we truly take our breath and every breath because you allow us to take this breath. And we are here this morning to acknowledge the fact that we are dependent on you, that you are a good God, that you are a good creator, that you are merciful to all that you have created, and that it is your desire that we live in close connection with you. And today we also affirm that we have sung before that there is room in your house, there is room at your table for each and everyone who desires to be in connection and in relationship with you. So we reach out to you this morning and we thank you that you extend this invitation to each and every one of us. Thank you, Father, that you're here today, and we pray that you speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Kids are dismissed into not the gym this time, into the kids' wing, because we still don't have heating there. So please go there, as well as the youth into the youth mezzanine. As you watch and follow the news these days, what goes through your mind? Doesn't it seem that the world is more divided than ever before? Does it make you feel unsettled, maybe worried a little bit, how this has all come to a good end? There are all the different opinions over government restrictions. You hear the news about the truckers' protest. You look at the world scene, how tensions are building in different parts of the country, of this world, in Russia and Ukraine. You sense a leadership crisis in politics and in other fields. It's also the time where more than ever teachers and nurses are walking out of their jobs with all the consequences that it has for schools and hospitals. The rising cost of living due to supply chain interruptions. And yes, there's climate change and its consequences, whether caused by human action or by nature itself. There's an increasing political divide here in this country and especially in the South, about right and left. There's challenges in the social media. There's good ways how information is spread. And with that, we mean all kinds of information that is more based on opinion than on fact. How does it make you feel? Worried? And the question is more than, like, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? And I'm glad that I'm not a politician right now, that I have to find a solution. But you wonder how that is to be found. How can we come together again? Well, turn the clock back several thousand years. And although the world was not as globally connected as it is today, it wasn't a pretty picture either. The world, as we have highlighted last week, was groaning. Groaning because of human actions. God's human creatures chose to rebel against their Creator, distrusting His benevolence, disobeying His authority, which caused brokenness in all creation. Humans hide before God in guilty fear. Men and women can no longer face each other without shame or blame. The soil comes under God's curse. the earth does not respond to human touch as it should. And over time, as we continue to read on these early pages of the Bible, numerous sins are added to the catalog. Jealousy, anger, murder, vengeance, violence, corruption, general disorder, drunkenness, arrogance. It says in one of those verses in the early pages of the Bible that every inclination of the human heart is shot through with evil. And as technology and culture developed and advanced, the skill to produce instruments for music and agriculture could also forge weapons of violence which led to death. And it seems that this is the trajectory that the world is in since those days. And the question truly is, can it be reversed? Is there any chance that it can? Can creation be saved? Can humankind truly be saved? It is also interesting that in the first pages of the Bible, it is also evident that the God who created this earth is also a God who continued to reach out. The serpent, its head will be crushed, he says. Adam and Eve, in their shame, are clothed. Cain, who murdered his brother, is protected. Noah and his family is being saved. Creation is preserved under covenant. And the creation project is limping forward, although under the weight of sin. Despite God reaching out and showing grace and hope, there was no sign that the world gets better. What was the solution, if there's any? How could there be a solution for the problems today? Well, the Bible gives us a surprise. God's surprise. A surprise solution. A surprise that is so typical for God. His surprise solution is an elderly couple who was not able to bear children. I can only imagine when God, it's just fantasy right now, but when God was revealing his plan in heaven among his angels, that there was not much understanding how that would solve the problem, the mounting problems of this earth. How could a childless elderly couple in the land of Babel be the solution for the problems of this world? It's almost comical, if it wouldn't be true. The call of Abraham was and is God's answer to the evil of human hearts and the strife of nations and the groaning of creation. The question is, how can an older couple, a childless couple, be the hope of the world? Well, if you study Old Testament and New Testament, it first of all seems that this is how God works, that this is the kind of God he is. Not the God of powerful or demonstrations of power and might, but a God who seems to always choose what's impossible, most unlikely, weak, and create something out of that. God starts his world transformation, again, not with a demonstration of strong leadership or power or military force. The change comes from a hopeless, inadequate couple who would have no qualification whatsoever to tackle the issues and the world problems. However, in this whole plan, change also hinges on the response of this couple to God's invitation to cooperate with him. And I would say a risky plan, isn't it? How can we rely on humans? How can you rely on their feebleness and fickleness? Because they have proven not to be highly reliable until then. But it was God's plan, and it seems there was no plan B. That salvation, that redemption, that renewal comes through humans. Now the question is, what exactly had God in mind? How was this couple to change the world? How were they confront evil on all levels? Here it is. God's surprise method is a blessing. A blessing. God blessing Abraham, and Abraham blessing all nations. Remember, we're talking about mission, which is ultimately God's mission. I hope we have understood this so far. That mission is not something that we invented, that we came up with, that we thought we have to do. It is God who always was on mission. And we slowly build the theme, brick by brick. And it seems that it's slow as we move forward, but bear with us as we try to build this big theme of God on mission. God is still on mission today. And what happened thousands of years ago through Abraham has ramifications and implications to this very day. And as we have mentioned before, God is surprising us by choosing an older couple to start all over again, and that his surprise method is a blessing. It will ultimately lead us to what we already highlighted. It lead us to Jesus, who also came in weakness, but who also came to bless us. But more about that a little bit further down the road as we develop our theme. Now listen to the text that we find in Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3, which this is based on. It says there, the Lord had said to Abraham, or to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless you, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Here is the decisive moment, the turn, if you will, in the book of Genesis. We have taken a look at that several weeks, months ago. Here is certainly a turning point where God starts, if you will, all over again, as if it seems like all the other attempts didn't work. Even human attempts to unite humanity failed. You know the famous story of the Tower of Babel, how they tried to unite humanity, and it did just the opposite. But here God speaks and suggests his solution, and that is blessing. And this word blessing and bless appears 5 times alone in this passage. And for those who are interested, the word for blessing that's used here is actually the first name of a famous politician that we may well know, Barak. Blessing. Barak actually means sudden, surprising, good news. And despite all that occurred in chapter 1 through 11 in Genesis, God still intends to bless the nations. The word blessing appears right in the early pages of the Bible. And actually in the whole creation story, it appears 3 times on 3 occasions. It is on day 5 when God blesses the fish and the birds with the instruction to multiply and be fruitful. And then it appears on day 6 when God blesses human beings with the same instructions to be fruitful and to multiply. And then it appears a third time on day 7, when God blesses the Sabbath in a sense of rest and setting this day aside as a holy day. Blessing is fruitfulness, abundance, fullness, but also enjoying rest with creation in holy, harmonious relationship with God. Again, blessing is fruitfulness, abundance, fullness, but also enjoying rest within creation in holy, harmonious relationship with God. And as we read this text, blessing also has these two dimensions. Blessing has a vertical dimension. In ways like that, those who are blessed know the God who is blessing them. Blessing in this case has always to do with knowing God. Knowing who He is and that I am in relationship with Him. And that I am blessed by Him. And that in response, I seek to live a life in faithful relationship with this God. This is this vertical relationship with God, where blessing, the source of blessing flows from. But as this vertical relationship with God, being blessed under God's blessing, is lived out, there is a horizontal element as well. Which means other people will be blessed who are in contact with those who God blesses. People are blessed who are in contact with those who God blesses. This is evident in so many stories of the Bible. And I just mentioned two. There's Laban. He is the one under whom Jacob works. It's the Old Testament story when Jacob has to flee and then he goes to his relative Laban, I think it's his distant uncle, and he works under him. And Laban is blessed just by the presence of Jacob being there, blessed physically and materially. Another story that we find in the Old Testament is Potiphar. He is the slave owner under which Joseph was working when he was sold to him after an evil plot of his brothers. But Potiphar's household was blessed richly simply by the presence of Joseph. Blessing is always two dimensions. Being blessed to bless others. Blessing also injects hope. It injects faith into an otherwise dark and depressing story. As we have said, the world didn't look good in those days, and it doesn't look good today. Not very hopeful. But if there's such thing that God is still there, and it's still at work, and if God is still pursuing His plans, and is still doing what He has done with Abraham, that He is blessing people, then blessing will also be distributed on this earth. So God's surprise was an old couple. And God's method of blessing and surprising us was blessing. Pouring out good things to us. But God's surprise means is one nation. As much as He started with one couple, it ultimately grew into one nation. I said it before that God promised to Abraham is God's answer to all the nations existing in those days. All humanity was subject to God's curse. It also must then be reached by God's blessing. And this is the thrust of God's mission. Always has been this entire universe and all peoples. We have also pointed out the bracket around the Bible, that the earth is this bracket on the Genesis and Revelation. And it's no surprise that the book of Revelation then also paints this picture of God's fulfilled blessing. When what God wants comes to full fruition. It says in Revelation 7:9, when the seer, John, sees the throne of God and has this vision of what happens at the end of times, then he has this. He says, "After these things I looked, and there was an enormous crowd that no one could count, made up of persons from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, dressed in long white robes and with palm branches in their hands." Here is the vision complete. All nations, all languages, all races, standing before God as redeemed people. And it all begins with an older couple who cannot bear children. The first thing that we see is that God takes initiative. God was the one who called. God was the one who did not dismiss creation and just threw it away as a failed object or a failed project. But he starts over and over again until he finally reaches this solution, one couple. And with this, he will change the world. And it is one couple, as we said, that eventually became one nation. And this one nation that eventually will become the church. The called ones who are called out of all nations and races and languages. And he will inhabit this earth. And through which God will disseminate blessing to the people around, wherever they are, wherever they live. But it's also this little point that I think is worth making. That while we see the God here as the one who is choosing and calling, it was never for the benefit of that couple alone. As sometimes those words are used in some theological context. As if that is happening for my own benefit that I am chosen. No. Abraham and his family were chosen as agents for God's blessing. It is always for the benefit of others that God is choosing. It is not for the rejection of the rest that God says, "Well, I'll pick some and the rest I reject." No. He always chooses ultimately for the benefit of all. God wants to save this world through blessing. And this blessing calls for a response. It is a blessing and the response that was modeled by Abraham. That's why Abraham stands as the model of faith. And it's not that his faith earned the blessing. It is not that by our faith we earn something, or by obedience that we earn something more from God. It is just the opposite. We are blessed, and therefore we trust and we obey. It is the response of what God is doing, what God is up to, what God is planning that I say, "God, I am part of it. I'm blessed, and I want to be part of what you're doing." Obedience is the means of living within this sphere of blessing. And it's a theme that goes through the Old and New Testament, that blessing, that obedience is the channel of this blessing. As if this kind of channel that opens and I'm open to God, live with Him and live in obedience to Him, that blessings are flowing through me. But it's never something that earns me the blessing. Blessings will always be grace. You see, the origins of the church and mission goes all the way back to the Old Testament. And the missionary impulse and the missionary activities that we find in the book of Acts was not a sudden change in history or in the disciples. It was simply the outworking of what God always wanted us to do, of biblical faith. And this becomes evident how Paul, probably one of the biggest and the most influential missionary ever who have ever lived, saw his own mission. He always saw himself as part of a larger story. It was not that he had this aha moment in the middle of somewhere and said, "Now I have to do everything else." No, Paul put all the pieces together, being raised in a Jewish family, in a Jewish environment, being well aware and well acquainted with the Old Testament. And then came Jesus, and he met him. And he had to put all the pieces together and say, everything is pointing to Jesus. And now I'm on mission in this old tradition because Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that happened before. Listen to what he describes to be his mission that he has, that he sensed he has here on earth. He writes it twice to the Romans when he writes this letter to them. Romans 1 through 5, he says, "Through him, through Jesus, we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake." He writes the same at the end of the letter. I'm sent to call to obedience of faith all nations. What does it remind you of? Obedience of faith. Abraham. Abraham is the one, the big model here. He would live this out. And Paul was very well acquainted with that story. In fact, he uses it in his letter several times and refers to Abraham as this model. If you will, Paul's mission was about producing communities of Abraham lookalikes in all nations. To create a community of Abraham lookalikes who had that faith of Abraham. Later on in the same letter in chapter 4, he writes about this. All those who are of faith like Abraham, you are a child of Abraham. You belong to that blessing that God has poured out. It was more than a convenient illustration. It was it. This was God's agenda to save the nations. That all nations will be blessed through God's good news right from the beginning. And not developing this thought further today, but eventually we will. But it's also Paul who writes about this in a very unique and surprising way. In Galatians 3 verse 8 he said, "Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham, and that is that all nations will be blessed through you." What is the gospel? That's one of those questions that we always ask. What is it? And then we come with this whole big story. Paul makes it here very simply. He said the gospel was already announced to Abraham. Abraham already knew the good news. And what was it? That all nations will be blessed through you. That's the good news. All nations will be blessed through you. All people matter to God. Every person matters to God. And God is ready to pour blessings out on everyone who reaches out to him. And here is where it leaves us. It challenges us to follow in these footsteps. And if you call yourself to be a follower of Jesus Christ, then this is one of your tasks that you are tasked with if you join God's mission. And that is go and be a blessing. You see the skeleton of this text that we read in Genesis 12? There's three things that are highlighted, three different thoughts. The first is go. And we'll explore this more, God willing, next week. Go. You need to go. He's told Abraham, you need to go. You need to leave your comfort zones behind. And you need to go. And then be a blessing. As I bless you, be a blessing wherever you go. And eventually all nations will be blessed through you. As you look at the world and its challenges today, what will be the solution? How do you think this world will be changed? isn't it natural that we also think of strength and power and leadership and even military power if needed, or demonstrations of power when we go into the streets? Do we think the world will be changed like this? Because we have done it so many times in my humankind has. God chose an entirely different plan. And it certainly is a surprise. And it will still come as a surprise that the world is changed through people who simply submit to God, receive the blessings that He pours out on every person. And as He does, and as they respond in obedience to God, will automatically be a blessing to the people around them. God, and please don't misunderstand me here, but it's all I say it. God is relying on us to be a blessing. God is relying on us. He has chosen human beings to spread the blessings on this earth, to be bearers of blessing as we live under God's blessings. God still relies on people like you and me who pursue to live under His leadership, who submit entirely to His mission to bless this earth. Go and be a blessing. Go and be a blessing. Wherever you are, whoever you meet, be a blessing. Let's pray. Our Father, it is with great shame and humility that we accept the fact that your methods are not ours. We have often thought we are so smart, and we know it better than you, and have tried so many times to bring solutions to problems. And God, although you have blessed us with a mind that can think, with intelligence, and all the gifts that we are supposed to use, but we always are called to use them in your way. And you have always chosen what is weak to bring your blessing to those who need it, even to this earth. You choose us. God, and we are here today to be hearing this command and commission again. Go and be a blessing. Let the blessings that you have bestowed on us be something that we distribute where we are. Let the goodness with which you shower us be something that is also coming out from us as we are good to other people. Let the love with which you love us and have forgiven us be the same kind of love that we stretch out to the people around us. Let the mercy and the grace that you, with which you uphold us every single day, be also the same that we extend to the people around us. Help us to be those agents of blessing so that your kingdom may come and your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.